College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Good Saturday afternoon and welcome to Right at Home with Rich. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and you know what a cold, gloomy, snowy Saturday morning we've been having. It's a great day to just stay inside and you know what? Call into your favorite radio show, Right at Home with Rich. And today, there's even a better reason to call in today because I have with me today our Mosby architect, Arthur Merdinian, joining me today. So what does that mean for you? Well, we have everything you wanted. If you ever wanted to pick the brain of an architect, have you ever just questions about your house, sat around thinking about a project and said, you know what, I wonder if that's even possible. Can it be done? You know, I'd love to talk to somebody with a lot of experience in how these things are figured out, designed and built. Well, today is your day for free advice from Mosby's own licensed architect. Arthur will be with me today. The phone lines are wide open, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. We got a few great topics for you today. I want to get to know Arthur. We could talk about some load-bearing walls. That's always popular, some newer code considerations to take into effect, and we have some fun architectural facts that we will be sprinkling in throughout the show today. And my right at home hack again, it's very cold, so find out what common household items can help you when your car is frozen, things you got right there in your home. That'll be up next. But again, our topic is your topic. You can call in today with any questions you might have about your home or to pick the brain of our licensed architect, Arthur Merdinian, with me today for until 1 o'clock. So one last time, the numbers you need, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. So let's jump right into this with Arthur. I want to get you on the line there. Are you with us, Arthur?
Yes.
Awesome. Having a little technical difficulties today, but that's okay. We're going to work through it. We're going to get through it, and we're going to get this done for everybody out there. So I really appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon, taking some time out of your Saturday and doing this with everybody. And I know we've got a lot that we do here at Mosby, a ton of stuff we can go over and talk about. But I always like to kind of start with you, the man, the myth, the legend. Let's just kind of learn a little bit about Arthur, what you do and all those sorts of things and who you are. So I know you weren't originally from St. Louis. So where did you originally grow up?
I grew up in Connecticut and have actually been in St. Louis now for over 30 years. So longer in St. Louis than I lived in Connecticut.
Awesome. So tell me just a little bit about, you know, your background. How did you get interested in architecture?
Well, while I was in architecture school, I had a friend that was a home builder and started working with him over the summers and just really enjoyed it. I loved the problem-solving aspect of both the design and construction of houses, and I enjoy working with all the different people and the different homeowners. You know, the projects tend to be shorter and faster than on the commercial side of things, and I like that.
Yeah, no, that is great. And, you know, I was just, you know, a lot of us that do this sort of stuff, whether it's architecture, designing, building, you know, we are problem solvers. And, you know, I was just talking to Scott at our office about how I do a lot of puzzles. I put puzzles together. And he said, yeah, see, that's interesting because you're problem solving. You want to put something together. You want to, you know, make it what it needs to be. And that's how you, you know, settle your mind, clear your mind. Because I used to do that with my hands all the time. And now I do it with scopes of work and agreements and all this sort of paperwork stuff and just, you know, looking and helping people out. So, you know, it's interesting
how
a lot of
us,
you know, really do that. So where did you go to school for architecture?
So I went to Wash U here in town for my architecture degree, and spent some time there, and then started working in the home building industry. Worked for a custom home builder as well as a production home builder, and ran an architecture firm for another home builder, and then I had my own architecture firm and construction company for a while.
Nice, yeah. So, you know, I found some interesting, kind of fun facts about architecture, that things I honestly, a lot of them I had absolutely no idea. I want to kind of do, you know, one of these in each segment just to do something fun with it a little bit. But so the first one I have, and the one that caught my eye the most, was really interesting, was did you know that architecture was once an Olympic sport?
So I did not know that. That was new to me.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And apparently they did all sorts, you know, when they first started, of music, painting, sculptures, literature, and architecture was one of them. But the caveat to the whole thing was everything that was submitted had to be sports related. So they were submitting, you know, stadiums and things like that, and winning gold medals for architecture. I mean, that's so cool.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. Never thought about considering the Olympics as an architect, you know, for architecture.
yeah, absolutely. So hey, another quick, you know, fun thing I think we could do. I love to do my lightning round questions with everybody and just kind of run through some factual stuff, some this or that, either or kind of questions with you real quick. You know, super easy answers just to get to know you. So looking sure. at kind of some either ors, are you a night owl or an early bird?
I tend to be a night owl.
Okay. So legal pad or iPad?
Oh, definitely an iPad.
Yeah, I pretty much knew that one. dogs or cats?
Probably dogs over cats.
So
currently don't have either one, but given the option, I would take dogs over cats.
Beach or mountains? I got an idea how I think you might answer this.
Oh, that one's definitely going to go beach.
Yeah, so I figured
I like
the whole
water.
I should have done lakes is what I really should have done for your boating. So everybody knows, you know, Arthur loves boating. So pizza, you like thin crust or some deep dish?
I'm a New York style pizza person. Having
awesome.
Grown up outside of New York, it's tough to let go of.
Yeah. So favorite season, talking about how cold it is. What's your favorite season?
You know, my favorite season is spring. I love it, just having all the flowers and the leaves coming out again. Everything's so green and just looks great. And you know, summer is just around the corner.
Sweet. So I've got just a couple quick St. Louis architecture ones for you. Do you like the Arch or the City Museum better?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Probably the Arch. It's a pretty cool monument, and when you get up right up close to it, you don't realize quite how big it is until you're just standing right at the bottom, and it just has so many different views from, you know, whether you're far away or right up close to it.
Awesome,
I enjoy that.
Yep. So perfect. So, hey, Arthur, again, I love you joining me. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to get shortly here into our first break in a few seconds, but I want to remind everybody to feel free to give us a call, 314-241-9797. You want anything with Arthur, with architecture, or anything about your house, feel free to call in, make this your topic, and we'll be right back after these messages.
It's now time for Rich's Right at Home Hack.
All All right, guys, Old Man Winter is upon us, and we had some snow, we've had some ice, we've had some really frigid temperatures out there. Well, here are some common household items that can help you with your frozen car. So WD-40 is first on the list. If your locks or your door handle is frozen, don't panic. Whip out a can of WD-40, spray it around liberally inside that lock, instantly free your door. So cardboard boxes, everybody has them. Pizza boxes work really great. Simply flatten them out, put them and cover your windshield the night before any snow or ice arrives. You can tuck it under your wipers, remove it in the morning, off you go, no problem. Ziploc bags, we all have Ziploc bags, so you get a larger size Ziploc bag, cover both your mirrors, both your side mirrors. You can secure it with a rubber band or a clothespin. Again, take that off in the morning, keeps the ice from freezing up on your mirrors, and you're ready to take off. So, and the last one, my favorite, is vinegar. If you got some vinegar in the house, just prepare, get an old spray bottle, put 2/3 part vinegar, 1/3 part water, spray it over those icy windows, mirrors, whatever you need, and it'll clear up right before your eyes, and you're off and running with way little effort. So, you can find way more information about this at bobvila.com or check out all my social media, Facebook or Twitter. I'll have all these hacks on every week. Just look up Rich Orris Mosby for Facebook or at Rich Orris Twitter, and you can find every hack every week right there for you. So want to say goodbye to Facebook, but also want to invite Facebook Live. Come on to 97.1. Give us a call. I have our architect online with me right now, our licensed architect. Pick his brain today. We only got a half hour left. 314-241-9797. Give us a shout. Ask any questions you need about your house, and I will see those guys later, and we will keep going here on 97.1 with Arthur. So, hey, Arthur, got another fun fact. We could, start off, with that, because, Legos, everybody's kind of like that puzzle we were talking about, putting things together, building things up.
Right.
But I found it really cool that Legos used to make special bricks for architects, like back in the 60s. They made special sized bricks that would actually be to scale, so architects could build scale models out of these little Lego pieces. So unfortunately, they discontinued it in the 70s. Probably found easier ways to do these models, but I thought that was really kind of cool, because those Legos are just like that puzzle we're talking about, putting something together, taking all the pieces and solving the problem and making something really cool out of it. So
yeah, absolutely,
what we do,
Yep.
So yeah, that is really, really interesting. So I thought we could get into one of our most favorite topics that we have all the time with a lot of clients and with our, our website and our online submission forms. This is one of the most common questions we get more often than anything, is the load bearing wall. How do you know it's load bearing? How do you get rid of it? What can I do? Can I, can't I, things like that. So I thought we would kind of just run through and explain, some of that load bearing wall process. So can you explain to everybody just kind of like what is a load bearing wall? And what's it doing?
Well, the short answer is it's holding up the house, but
yeah.
it's a wall that's either supporting your second floor or the roof or both. It typically runs a good portion of your house. As you're trying to identify that wall, you might look in your basement and see where the steel beam is. Because typically your bearing wall is going to be right on top of that steel beam. So that the idea is it's holding up all this weight, and that weight needs to be transferred to the ground. And so that's how it gets there.
Yeah. And, one thing I've always found interesting is, where that wall starts and stops. What a lot of people, you know, they kind of look at it and they think, well, I got the basement beam and stuff, so that's good. I got the wall here, so that's good. So if I just remove a little bit of it, you know, but where that middle wall starts and stops, you know, could actually, you know, a lot of times we end up having to do work in the basement to still help, you know, hold that area up, you know, where you put the end of that wall, or where you know, the edge of where you create that opening. Can you kind of explain maybe why is that necessary sometimes?
Well, when you create an opening in a load bearing wall, you take all of the load that was on the wall in the opening and distribute it to two points on either side of that new opening. And those points then get transferred down to the steel beam. And the steel beam wasn't originally designed to support such a concentrated load in one spot. So to make up for that, you may have to add a column underneath that, those two locations on either side of that opening to support that concentrated load and get it down to the ground.
Yeah. And, you know, I was just talking to somebody about, you know, building an addition and things like that. And it was right near a house in Clayton where, you know, we started designing a second floor, you know, on a one-story house, make it a two-story house and second story addition. And the home was on a slab. It was on concrete. It wasn't a traditional basement with the beams and center load bearing walls and all this stuff. And, you know, I was explaining to them how, you know, what we started end up finding was there were so many places we would have to go through the first floor in order to hold up the second floor into that concrete in the ground. It just got so crazy that, you know, it got so expensive. They were like, nope, you know, forget it. But it's, you know, we went through the steps to find and figure all that stuff out for them so that we knew exactly, you know, what needed to happen. So it is a great valued service to figure that out. And you know, when you do it like Mosby does kind of conceptually, you can find out sooner than later and not be in the middle of, you know, actual prints and stuff like that, trying to get it done. But so when you're thinking about any interior walls, though, is there anything else that, you know, listeners should be trying to look out for when removing even any interior wall, even if it's not load bearing? What, you know, what happens with some of that stuff?
Well, the things that you find, particularly in a two-story house, you know, even if the wall's not load bearing, it may have it's got electric in it. It may have plumbing pipes in it. It may have heating and cooling ductwork in it, and all that stuff. You know, it's gonna, if you're taking that wall out, all those things need to go someplace. So now you're rerouting plumbing or rerouting your heating and cooling vents. So those are things to look for. And sometimes it's obvious, you can see the vent or the switch on the wall. Other times it's not as obvious, and it might just be a duct that's going from the basement to the second floor someplace.
Yeah. Or a plumbing stack, you know?
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine send me a picture one time of a wall that they had opened up. You know, he does work for a remodeling company, and they're showing this whole wall. They got all the drywall off of it, and it's got two HVAC pipes, you know, stacks running right through it to the second floor. It's got a plumbing vent running through it, and it's got like two electrical lines going up from the basement to the second floor in it. And his comment in the text was, boy, are they going to be upset. The scope of work says no electrical, HVAC, or plumbing is involved.
Right.
And I'm like, holy cow. But then you open it up and you find, you know, it's like, how hard do you look and investigate, you know, much earlier on to figure out, you know, things like that? I mean, what are some of the steps you can maybe do to figure some of that stuff out?
Well, the easiest place to start is in your basement, and you can kind of see where plumbing pipes go through the floor and see where that location is in relation to the wall above. And, you know, if that'll give you an indication of what may or may not be in that wall. You know, you can also use the little camera scope and make a hole in the wall and put the camera in and see what might be in that wall. You know, it's another way to verify what might be hiding behind the drywall.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, so I've had a lot of our clients ask, you know, as we're going through the design and we're going to be measuring and, you know, we're going to measure the whole first floor to figure this out for you. But we're also going to be in your basement locating plumbing stacks and, you know, all this stuff at the same time. They're like, well, why? You're on the main floor. You know, well, when we layer those drawings one on top of the other and you see where all that stuff is, you can see it, you know, do you think it's inside that wall or not? Do we need more investigation, you know, or not? So just such a great way to help figure that out, you know, with all of our clients and everything. So, hey, I do want to tell everybody real quick, we do have coming up on February 24th, we have a kitchen webinar that we'll be doing online. It's 10 steps to a successful kitchen remodel. So you can go online, go to mosbybuildingarts.com/seminars, and you can check it out, see what it's all about, register for it. We've got over like 50 something people already registered and getting involved in this. Great information for everybody. Don't miss that. And we'll be right back after these messages with Arthur here. We're going to talk a little bit about what kind of advice does Arthur think everyone should know when they're getting ready to start a project. I think that will be really a good thing you don't want to miss. So we'll be right back after this.
Do you have a question about your home? Call in at 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797.
All right, we are back live and lively. Last segment, you're going to love this. I got my Mosby architect on the line with me. Arthur, are you still there?
Oh, I'm still here, hanging in.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate it. And, you know, so we got a little bit of a late start. So I'm going to do two of these fun facts that I think are really cool. One of these architecture fun facts is that Frank Lloyd Wright's son invented Lincoln Logs. That's, you know, it goes back to that puzzle thing, the mind of a builder, of an architect, of somebody that does stuff like that, you know, coming up with a way to actually invent and make something that does that. It doesn't surprise me that that was his son that made those.
Yep, I played with those as a kid.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that was definitely one of the coolest things out there for sure. You know, doing all them, building all the little log houses and stuff. But so one that really struck me as amazing, and I've got another building that kind of relates to it, but this one is the Empire State Building generates more revenue from its observation decks than it does from renting out 85 floors of office space.
Yeah, that one's amazing.
That one is absolutely amazing. They get more income off of that. But, you know, it shows you that, you know, to me, so architecture can be something that people like and enjoy and will pay money for, you know, to see or to go to or things like that. And so I watched this show with my son. It's called How Did They Build That? I don't know if you've ever seen that show.
Yeah, sure.
Isn't that the coolest show? So did you see the one about the place in Las Vegas that they designed this really super cool building? And it's a medical research facility.
Huh. I have not seen that one.
Yeah. So the whole time I'm thinking, why did they spend all these millions of dollars to make the coolest building for this medical research? You know, blocks and bricks you could do research inside of, but what they do is they rent out the space on the weekends for weddings, wedding rehearsals, you know, for any kind of parties, different things like that. And it's just such a cool place that it's people pay top dollar. They, you know, stars and rich people and stuff love this place. It is the architecture of it's pretty amazing. So they do all this stuff there, and they literally make money that they put into the research. So they're funding the research by renting out this building on the weekends. And I'm like,
they
it's amazing.
They use the building to be their identity.
Yeah.
And, you know, and people, like you said, people want to come and see it and interact with it and, you know, be outside, be inside and enjoy the spaces.
Yeah, absolutely. It is really just so cool that they could. So when I saw this one, I was like, you know, maybe it shouldn't have surprised me so much because I just saw that show not too long ago and was like, yeah, that's an amazing theory of how can you get money and stuff like that, you know, for what you're doing. So, you know, really, really cool. But so what I want to kind of close out with, we got a couple minutes, about 3 minutes here left that I just wanted to put out there. So advice from you to listeners, to clients, to everybody out there, if you could talk to everyone that's ever thinking about, you know, starting some sort of project, what do you think the first things they should be asking themselves are?
You know, I think the first thing they should be asking themselves is how much longer do they plan on being in that particular house? And if they do this remodeling project, is that something that's going to allow them to stay in the house longer and, you know, be more comfortable? You know, those are probably my two go-to questions to get somebody started, you know, because if somebody answers and says, oh, I'm only planning on being here for another 3 years, then it might not be worth it to make a huge investment in that house. Just to be there for 3 years, you're not as likely to see the return on that investment as you are if you're going to be there for 10 years, say.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Completely makes sense. And, you know, I did have a client one time that is the first thing they said to me, you know, looking at a deck on the back of a house, and they said, you know, first thing I want you to understand is I'm retiring in 2 years. I'm moving to Arizona to be near my family and my grandkids. So I really need to have this, you know, be like reasonable and better for the home. And I'm like, wow. So if I'm bringing a 10-year workmanship warranty to you and you're out in two, is the value
really
there in what we're doing? You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And what you're doing and, you know, all this other stuff. And so, yeah, it was exactly that scenario, you know, per se to the T was, you know, just why are you doing all this to this house? But then again, the people I was talking about the other night, they're like, I've had a couple people tell me I'm crazy for wanting to do this. And I'm like, no, you're not crazy. If you see the value and it fits and you're going to be here when this, you know, 2.5-year-old leaves for college, then you're probably
right.
Just fine. But if you're
exactly,
you might want to rethink, you know, what you're doing with it and everything. So, hey, we only got about a minute left here, but I do want to thank you, Arthur, for taking time out of your day, joining me, getting some information out there to our listeners. I really, really appreciate it.
And my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again, get more time. We've got so many topics we can do, but I do want to remind everybody else out there, too, a couple things of, you know, we have that kitchen seminar coming up, the webinar, February 24th. So get in, figure that out. If you want to learn about kitchens, we'd love to educate you at mosbybuildingarts.com/seminars. And that, hey, this is what we do, everybody. So, you know, Arthur goes on some of these first calls just like I do, visiting people, looking at your projects. Give us a call, 314-909-1800. Or call mosby.com, find us. And we're out of time, but hey, want to say thanks to everybody. Have a good week. I'll talk to you next week.
Do you have a question about your home? Call in at 314-209-1800.
241-9797 or 866-455-9797.
All right. We are back live and lively. Last segment. You're going to love this. I got my Mosby architect on the line with me. Arthur, are you still there?
Oh, I'm still here, hanging in.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate it. And, you know, so we got a little bit of a late start. So I'm going to do two of these fun facts that I think are really cool. So one of these architecture fun facts is that Frank Lloyd Wright's son invented Lincoln Logs. That's, you know, it goes back to that puzzle thing, the mind of a builder, of an architect, of somebody that does stuff like that, you know, coming up with a way to actually invent and make something that does that. It doesn't surprise me that that was his son that made those.
Yep. I played with those as a kid.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That was definitely one of the coolest things out there for sure. You know, doing all them, building all the little log houses and stuff. But so one that really struck me as amazing, and I've got another building that kind of relates to it, but this one is, so the Empire State Building generates more revenue from its observation decks than it does from renting out 85 floors of office space.
Yeah, that one's amazing.
That one is absolutely amazing. They get more income off of that. But, you know, it shows you that, you know, to me, so architecture can be something that people like and enjoy and will pay money for, you know, to see or to go to or things like that. And so I watched this show with my son. It's called How Did They Build That? I don't know if you've ever seen that show.
Yeah, sure.
Isn't that the coolest show? So did you see the one about the place in Las Vegas that they designed this really super cool building? And it's a medical research facility.
Huh. I have not seen that one.
Yeah. So the whole time I'm thinking, why did they spend all these millions of dollars to make the coolest building for this medical research? You know, blocks and bricks you could do research inside of, but what they do is they rent out the space on the weekends for weddings, wedding rehearsals, you know, for any kind of parties, different things like that. And it's just such a cool place that it's, people pay top dollar. They, you know, stars and rich people and stuff love this place. The architecture of it's pretty amazing. So they do all this stuff there, and they literally make money that they put into the research. So they're funding the research by renting out this building on the weekends. And I'm like,
it's
amazing.
Use the building to be their identity.
Yeah.
And, you know, and people, like you said, people want to come and see it and interact with it and, you know, be outside, be inside and enjoy the spaces.
Yeah, absolutely. It is really just so cool that they could. So when I saw this one, I was like, you know, maybe it shouldn't have surprised me so much because I just saw that show not too long ago and was like, yeah, that's an amazing theory of how can you get money and stuff like that, you know, for what you're doing. So, you know, really, really cool. But so what I want to kind of close out with, we got a couple minutes, about 3 minutes here left that I just wanted to put out there. So advice from you to listeners, to clients, to everybody out there, if you could talk to everyone that's ever thinking about, you know, starting some sort of project, what do you think the first things they should be asking themselves are?
You know, I think the first thing they should be asking themselves is how much longer do they plan on being in that particular house? And if they do this remodeling project, is that something that's going to allow them to stay in the house longer and, you know, be more comfortable? You know, those are probably my two go-to questions, to, to get somebody started, you know, because if somebody answers and says, oh, well, I'm only planning on being here for another 3 years, then it might not be worth it to make a huge investment in that house just to be there for 3 years. You're not as likely to see the return on that investment as you are if you're going to be there for 10 years, say.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Completely makes sense. And, you know, I did have a client one time that is the first thing they said to me, you know, looking at a deck on the back of a house, and they said, you know, first thing I want you to understand is I'm retiring in 2 years. I'm moving to Arizona to be near my family and my grandkids. So I really need to have this, you know, be like reasonable and better for the home. And I'm like, wow. So if I'm bringing a 10-year workmanship warranty to you and you're out in two, is the value
really
there in what we're doing? You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And what you're doing and, you know, all this other stuff. And so, yeah, it was exactly that scenario, you know, per se to the T was, you know, just why are you doing all this to this house? But then again, the people I was talking about the other night, they're like, I've had a couple people tell me I'm crazy for wanting to do this. And I'm like, no, you're not crazy. If you see the value and it fits and you're going to be here when this, you know, 2.5-year-old leaves for college, then you're probably
right.
Just fine. But if you're
exactly,
you might want to rethink, you know, what you're doing with it and everything. So, hey, we only got about a minute left here, but I do want to thank you, Arthur, for taking time out of your day, joining me, getting some information out there to our listeners. I really, really appreciate it.
And my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again, get more time. We've got so many topics we can do, but I do want to remind everybody else out there too, a couple things of, you know, we have that kitchen seminar coming up, the webinar, February 24th. So get in, figure that out. If you want to learn about kitchens, we'd love to educate you at mosbybuildingarts.com/seminars. And that, hey, this is what we do, everybody. So, you know, Arthur goes on some of these first calls just like I do, visiting people, looking at your projects. Give us a call, 314-909-1800. Or call mosby.com, find us. And we're out of time, but hey, want to say thanks to everybody. Have a good week. I'll talk to you next week.